The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into NFL Live. 28 teams in OTAs today. We're watching them all and bringing you footage. There's Jameis Winston on the field. Of course, he tore his ACL week 8. He's joining his teammates there, rookie Chris Olave, on the field today. And we got a lot more to talk about with the Saints. That's coming over in Pittsburgh. There's a QB competition. Kenny Pickett and Mitch Trubisky battling it out in OTAs as much as he battled it out in May. We'll keep an eye on who will be the Steelers' new signal caller. And then, of course, out in Las Vegas, the Raiders took the field in OTAs today. And, of course, Colin Kaepernick worked out there yesterday. Coach Josh McDaniels just spoke to the media. We're going to take you out there in just a minute. But first, we welcome you in here. Let's see everybody who's going to be with us today. Damian, Woody, Lewis, Riddick, and Jeff Darlington here for the hour. A lot coming your way from those guys and a lot to get to with all of these teams around the NFL and OTAs today. So we do begin in Vegas, where Josh McDaniels spoke after working out Colin Kaepernick yesterday. Here's what he said.
We won't only talk about the people that are on our team. I mean, Dave and his staff have worked out tons of guys, you know, this spring. And we really don't make comments about the evaluations that we made or, you know, what they look like, what they didn't look like, strengths and weaknesses, those kind of things. They're kind of, you know, private, obviously, for us as we look at things to try to make decisions to make the team better. And, you know, if players are added to the team, then obviously we'll talk about them at that point. But, you know, I respect the question 100%. I understand. But that's kind of what we'll stick to. I think Derek's pretty comfortable with where he's at. I think he knows.
All right, so obviously he was continuing on there, Josh McDaniels, talking about how it is Derek Carr's team as we welcome in Brady Henderson reporting on the Raiders out there in Las Vegas. And Brady, not a whole lot from McDaniels there as we would expect, but you were in that room. What more context can you add around this Colin Kaepernick situation?
Yeah, Josh McDaniels did his best Bill Belichick impression, I think, in trying to give us as little as he could about the Colin Kaepernick situation. A lot of deflecting of the questions about Kaepernick. You heard him say that he's only going to talk about players who are on the team. But Laura, I think the most interesting answer he gave was actually more about Derek Carr in the context of the Kaepernick situation. And I asked Josh McDaniels if he felt the need to give Derek Carr a heads up on the situation, given Kaepernick's profile, given the popularity, given you know how much attention is going to be on this situation. And he said he didn't feel the need to. And that's significant because from what I understand, Laura, I've been told by several Seahawks sources that one of the reasons they did not sign Colin Kaepernick after bringing him in for a visit in 2017 was because they were very concerned about the Russell Wilson-Colin Kaepernick dynamic and fearing that because Kaepernick was such a magnetic and popular player that they feared that some people in that locker room would shift allegiances towards Kaepernick and away from Russell Wilson. And so that was the spirit of the question to McDaniels. And you heard him say that he didn't feel like it's a big deal to Derek Carr. And it's like Derek Carr knows that this is his team.
Yeah, really interesting context there, Brady. And I think when we've seen what Derek Carr was able to navigate last season specifically, it makes you realize how great of a leader he is. Lou, after hearing from coaches and players and sort of that context there around Kaepernick, what do you think the chances are that Kaepernick ends up getting signed?
Well, if you're talking about by the Las Vegas Raiders in particular, you know, Laura, I honestly, and I know this isn't going to please many people, I honestly can't really give you like a percentage chance. But what I can say is this, knowing Josh McDaniels like I do, and given the fact that, look, he's not going to give away anything in terms of their evaluation on Colin Kaepernick and do the work for anyone else who hasn't decided to bring him in, I will say this. I know that they have probably taken this down the road pretty far as what this would look like if, in fact, they did sign him. What it would mean for Derek Carr in particular, what it would mean for the rest of the quarterback room, the offense overall, the team overall, and then the community. How would it be received? How much would it distract or take away from everything else that they're trying to build there as far as a new program that Josh is trying to establish along with Dave Ziegler? And that they pretty much knew what this would mean if, in fact, they did go ahead and sign him. I think the last piece of the puzzle is, and the most important piece, obviously, is, what exactly does Colin look like? And Josh isn't going to give away anything as far as what he observed and what he saw and whether or not he felt he was going to help the football team. But I would say this, for them to bring him in means a lot of legwork was done beforehand and that this was not just your run-of-the-mill, hey, let's bring in a couple guys off the waiver wire, kick the tires, and just kind of like fill out our database for maybe a reserve future signing somewhere at the end of the season in January when we're just trying to fill out our offseason roster. That's not what this kind of thing is. We all know that. Common sense would tell us that. So I think this is a lot more serious than maybe some people even want to believe.
Yeah, Lou, I agree with you 100% on that. I mean, you're talking about a guy who hasn't played in, 5 years in the National Football League, and for the Las Vegas Raiders to bring Colin Kaepernick in for a workout, that just tells you, in my opinion, that they're serious about potentially adding him onto the roster. And listen, you talk about owner Mark Davis. He actually spoke on Colin Kaepernick last month and basically gave his blessing to the front office and coaching staff to pursue this avenue. Felt like Colin Kaepernick deserved to be given an opportunity to come back into the National Football League, even with the Las Vegas Raiders. And we know that Mick Lombardi has some familiarity with Colin Kaepernick, being that he was on the 49ers back in 2014 when Colin Kaepernick was a quarterback. So when you add it all up, you know, there's a possibility that, you know, opportunity could be around the corner for Colin Kaepernick. And I think this whole workout is a sneaking peek to see the type of conditioning, the arm, all those type of things that would entail a type of workout that they probably put Colin Kaepernick through.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that you mentioned there, D. Wood, is that Mark Davis had endorsed Colin Kaepernick joining this team. He did that. He's been doing that for a couple years now, even all the way back to 2020, saying he would be in full favor of bringing him in. Jeff, when you think about this quarterback room and just the viability of adding another QB to it, set the stage there a little bit for us, specifically with the Raiders, outside of just Derek Carr.
Well, I think that's actually probably the most important point here. I understand what the conversation comes with around Colin Kaepernick, but if you look at the depth chart, you can understand why the Raiders are looking into depth here. Nick Mullins and Jared Stidham are the two leaders in the clubhouse when it comes to the competition for that backup job. Bringing Colin Kaepernick in obviously feels like you could potentially have a decent competition for that backup job. Of course, though, we have not seen Colin Kaepernick play in more than 5 years at this point, and really 7 years since he was a truly productive starter. So, again, it makes sense why they would look at him for potential depth, but this still feels like a long road before we were to see Kaepernick potentially on a football field.
Yeah, Jeff, and you know what? Just to kind of piggyback onto that and add on to that, I think people need to keep this in perspective here. Look, Colin Kaepernick signing now does not even mean that he would make it to training camp. It doesn't guarantee anything. And I don't think Colin Kaepernick is under any illusion that it would mean anything more than that. Other than just if you were to sign at this point in time, go through the rest of the offseason, participate in some OTAs, participate in mandatory minicamp, and then teams will reassess again exactly what their roster looks like heading into training camp. Colin Kaepernick has expressed the fact that, look, the NFL is supposed to be a meritocracy. I'm cool with that. Just go ahead and take a look at me. See if you think I'm good enough to help your football team. And if I'm not, then let me go. I'm not looking for anything guaranteed. And I think people who are obviously very interested in this entire situation need to keep that in perspective, because I think this conversation obviously can get way down the road and get very sideways and kind of foster a lot of like emotions in people who seem to, like, some people who are very much for Colin being in the NFL again, and some people who believe he has no shot of making an NFL roster again. I think we all need to just kind of like look at this as exactly what it is. A guy who has not played football in the NFL for 6 seasons. A guy who right now is looking for another opportunity. The Las Vegas Raiders stepped up to the plate and said, hey, look, this is serious enough for us in terms of our own quarterback situation and what we feel as though you were at one time and maybe what you are now, for us to bring you in, talk to you, put you through the paces, and then reconvene and see whether or not that upgrades our roster, and then move on from there. I think we all need to keep that in perspective. I really do commend the Raiders, and I know Josh McDaniels well enough to know that they have taken this in a very orderly and systematic and methodical fashion. And let's just see what happens here from here.
Yeah, important perspective there, Lewis, and thank you for that. Just one more piece of context here, you guys. Since we last saw Kaepernick playing week 17 of the 2016 season, 116 different quarterbacks have started a game since then. It's been a long time. Let's get to some more quarterback news. Kyler Murray is skipping Cardinals OTAs, despite the fact that They're without DeAndre Hopkins for the first six games and have plenty of new pieces to work in. Kyler's not going to be there. Either way, GM Steve Keim sung the praises of his quarterback, Kyler Murray, and here's what he had to say.
He's a football junkie. That's the one thing about him. He loves watching film of players, and he'll shoot me texts before the draft, or we'll talk about guys that he likes, and it's exciting because, you know, to me, the great ones, the guys who are really bought in, really have that mindset that they want to have other good players around them. They want to build something special. And again, I think he's that kind of guy. So every quarterback that's done it before has done it from anywhere from July to September. We know that he's under contract for another year and also the fifth year option. And he is our future. We feel that way strongly. And I feel like we'll be able to get something done this summer.
Thanks to the Pat McAfee Show for that. You know, it's interesting. If you've forgotten, this has been quite the saga. Kyler Murray scrubbing the social media of the Cardinals references. And then now it's changed a little bit. There was a lot out there, Jeff, that was making people think maybe the Cardinals are upset with him. He's upset with them. And here we are with Steve Keim talking about a contract being done this summer. When does the lack of contract, though, become concerning for Cardinals and Kyler?
Well, the clock starts now in terms of whether we should be concerned about the contract. That comes with the notion that the clock did not start back in February when this became such a dramatic story because of the statement that Kyler Murray's agent had put out and all of the social media scrubbing that you referenced, some of the things that came out of the Cardinals building. But ultimately, I talked to Steve Keim back in February, and he extinguished a lot of that by essentially saying what he said there is, look, we're going to get through this offseason portion, get through the draft, and then we're going to sit down and we're going to hammer out this contract, and it's going to get done. All that being said, now we're to the point where the draft is over. Now we're to the point where Steve Keim needs to get to work, and we need to be careful with this. While there is optimism, while this isn't going sideways, we are still at a point where if this were to drag on, it could go sideways again. So we'll keep an eye on it, but we will take Steve Keim for now at his word for it.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Well, we're waiting on D. Wood, but he may not know it's his turn. So what do you think, Damian?
He didn't like what I said.
Sorry about that. It's got some things going on over here, Laura. Listen, I think as far as Kyler Murray is concerned and the Arizona Cardinals, obviously the contract situation, that's going to work itself out. But there's a lot of concerns going on for me as it relates to the Arizona Cardinals. Number one, obviously, is DeAndre Hopkins. With his six-game suspension. We all saw how that played a role last year towards the end of the season when DeAndre Hopkins was hurting it and the effect that it had on Kyler Murray. And then we talk about, you know, the back and forth between Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals organization. These type of things, you just don't, you know, you don't want to see these things play itself out. Hopefully the contract situation gets itself worked out and you know, these guys can get focused back on what's really important, and that's the game of football. But Arizona is, to me, is in a precarious situation, you know, just as an organization, especially as it relates to DeAndre Hopkins and his lack of availability early into the season coming up.
You know what else is precarious is our technical issues here so far in NFL Live. We're going to let these things linger as long as we can and see how awkward it can get.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
NFL Live is brought to you by Obi-Wan Kenobi, 2-episode premiere streaming this Friday only on Disney Plus. Take a listen to Justin Fields putting in some work today at OTAs.
I think I'm mic'd up today, so.
So
don't be saying nothing crazy. So trash, stay away from your, you know.
Keep our base.
Keep our base. Black. Good. That was better. That was better. White. Ooh. Oh, banks are open. Banks are open.
Yes, sir.
Justin Fields working with new QB's coach Andrew Janoco there. He's looking to hit his stride in his second season. Over the last five seasons, there's been six sophomore quarterbacks to rank top five in the league in total QBR. Two of them won MVP in Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. This offseason, this year's group of second-year quarterbacks looking to make that jump, trying to get in their best shape for next season.
I feel better for sure. You know, the energy, the ability to, you know, have that stamina throughout the whole practice, I think is better.
You guys will see him. He's thick.
I think last season I probably ended around 208, and I'm about 221 right now.
I kind of dealt with my finger throughout the season. So for me, it was kind of getting that back and getting healthy and feeling, you know, back to myself.
Just cleaning up my diet, and I've learned more this offseason than I probably ever have about nutrition.
I do have a sweet tooth pretty bad, so that's been the challenge, is the cookies and cakes and, you know, those kind of things. So
he's in the best shape of his life.
I've definitely trimmed down on the body fat a little bit.
He looks really good. His stomach is gone, and he looks really good.
At the same time, I need to maintain my weight and be able to take hits.
I just think in the long run, once we get into a game where we're actually getting hit and tackled, you know, having some more size on me would help.
I'll get a chance to bulk back up and before the season starts and being able to absorb the hits.
I just feel like I'm a better athlete with more weight on me for some reason.
Man, these second-year quarterbacks taking it real seriously. They sound like us in the offseason trying to get ready for the season. You know, we're all out there getting swole and bulking up. Damian, which of these second-year quarterbacks is going to make the biggest jump this season?
You know, Laura, I'm going to go with Zach Wilson from the New York Jets. And you look at, you know, what happened, you know, what happened last year. You're talking about a rookie quarterback in Zach Wilson, rookie play caller in Mike LaFleur, and then rookie head coach in Robert Saleh, and they're all coming back for their second system. So being in the same system, same play caller, and then the bevy of weapons that's going to be surrounding Zach Wilson this year. You know, not only you have Elijah Moore coming back, Corey Davis is going to be coming back. You know, both of those guys, you know, had injured plagued seasons last year, but you also had Garrett Wilson, number 10 pick in the draft this past season. Breece Hall, who you added, you know, probably the top running back in the draft out of Iowa State to go along with Michael Carter. Two new tight ends, and C.J. Uzomah coming over from the Cincinnati Bengals and Tyler Conklin from the Minnesota Vikings. So you're talking about a lot of firepower that's going to be surrounding Zach Wilson this year, and I think that's going to give him an opportunity to really showcase the skill set that to show why he was the number two pick overall last year.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
I mean, Damian, is all you do, you ever just talk about the Jets? Everything's about the Jets, the Jets, the Jets, the future, the future, the future, the Jets, the Jets. I mean, you sound like, people say I'm a homer. Man,
here we go again, Lou. Here we go again.
Just remember that. Just remember where you were drafted and where your roots actually are. Okay, yeah, you can give him props. Moving on. We're not talking about him anymore. Let's talk about the guy who's really going to make a jump, because he's really starting from negative zero. He's starting from below zero as compared to what it'll be in 2022. Look, Trevor Lawrence, I think the Jacksonville Jaguars really did him a solid by getting Doug Peterson in the fold and having him as someone that can guide this young man and provide him with some adult competent guidance at the quarterback position, which is something he did not have at all last year. He was the only adult in the building last year. This year, he has someone who has tutored a young quarterback that people attach high expectations to. When you talk about providing him with weapons, first they fortified the interior of this offensive line, starting with the signing of Brandon Scherff in unrestricted free agency. They got him a tight end in Evan Engram, who, if he can stay healthy, is as good of a matchup problem as anyone in the NFL. They signed Christian Kirk in unrestricted free agency, and I know people are going, come on, man, Christian Kirk, look at what they paid him. You know they overvalued him. But look, him, Zay Jones, Marvin Jones, Laviska Shenault. That's a pretty good wide receiver room right there. I think this young man, based upon my experience with him and talking to him last year and what he is now going to be subjected to in terms of the quality of coaching and utilization that he will have coming from Doug Peterson, I think you will see him take a tremendous jump, and all of us will be saying, that's why Mel Kiper was saying he's one of the best prospects since he scouted John Elway. That's why. I think you will see that happen for him in 2022.
Lou, Damian just did what, you know, everybody up in New York does. They just, you know, talk about the Jets and forget about teams like the Jaguars in Florida with Trevor Lawrence, a generational prospect who did everything right before season when Urban Meyer did everything he could to tear him down. You know what I mean, Lou?
Yeah, look, there's no question. Damian is a New York Jets homer. He knows he is.
That's right.
I see his tweets. I see his Twitter handle. I see everything that he says about the Jets. It's kind of like, dang, Woody.
Laura, I'm bored over here. You see how they're trying to attack me and everything? I'm bringing number facts to the table and they're trying to attack me. It's all good, though.
Hey,
it's all good.
Listen, here's another fact, guys. No one mentioned Mac Jones making that jump. He was so good last season. He posted the second highest completion percentage and fifth most pass yards by a rookie in NFL history. This guy, now listen, some people are like, oh, well, the ceiling's already where it is. This guy has a chance to make a really big jump, especially if they figure out who the offensive coordinator is going to be. All right, let's get to another sophomore in the league. This guy, not a quarterback. Happy birthday to Micah Parsons, you guys, the Cowboys linebacker. 23 years old today, or years young. Lewis, he's only 23. This guy can play all over the field. In honor of his birthday, let's take a little flashback back to high school when he was a running back.
When Dallas drafted him last year, he was the single most important player on that football team, even more so than Dak Prescott, if Dallas was to have a chance to really ascend into the elite conversation in terms of overall team success. I think heading into 2022, as good as he was last year, he needs to be even better this year. He needs to be even better because we know what expectations always are down there in Dallas, and a lot of it is going to start with him, and he cannot rest on his laurels with what was a spectacular rookie season, no question about it.
Yeah, you know, he's so versatile. 278 pass rushing plays, 249 plays in pass coverage. No other player in the NFL logged more than 200 snaps in both. He does it all. Speaking of doing it all, D. Wood, did you ever play running back in high school or at any level? Any other positions for you?
Nah, Lord, my hand was always in the dirt. Always in the dirt.
That's all you need to say.
Dolphins give Tyreek Hill a four-year, $120 million deal.
Dolphin Nation, I am so ready to be a part of Fins Up.
This move is great, monumental for the Dolphins.
They are explosive and they are all in.
That's what I do, baby. I'm the cheetah, man.
Tyreek Hill, cheetah, touchdown!
You can't catch me.
The Miami Dolphins have surrounded Tua Tagovailoa with loads of offensive talent.
Gear up, man. It's going to be a fast season, but it's going to be a fun season.
Can't wait to see this offense on the field. The Dolphins back in OTAs today. A whole lot was made of that slight underthrow that Tua had to his new receiver, Tyreek Hill, as you see him working out right now. But the Cheetah spoke to reporters about his new QB, and here's what he had to say.
First, I thought it was going to be something crazy, the ball going all over the place, but Tua actually has, you know, probably one of the prettiest balls I've ever caught in my life. So, it's very catchable. I don't want to continue because the more I talk, the more it sounds weird. So Tua is a very accurate quarterback. That's all I'm going to say.
Interesting. Now, keep in mind, of course, Tyreek Hill's coming from Patrick Mahomes being his quarterback. Damian, do you think this Tua-Tyreek connection can challenge the Bills for the division?
Laura, I think they got a lot of work to do. I think the Bills are the class of the AFC East. I mean, you're talking about last year, and their two matchups were a point differential of 50. 50 was the point differential in those two matchups going up against the Buffalo Bills. So that's a large margin that has to be closed. But, you know, I like the weapons that they have. You know, they've added a lot of key pieces between trading for Tyreek Hill, bringing over Cedric Wilson from the Dallas Cowboys, Teron Armstead, you know, the all-pro tackle from the New Orleans Saints. They've made a lot of key moves, but ultimately, This thing is going to come down to Tua and his ability to match up with you know, a guy like Josh Allen. That's a huge difference. So Bills, in my opinion, are the class of the division.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Look, I think when we're talking about Tyreek Hill and we're talking about Tua Tagovailoa, I think something's important here to remember. At one point in time, I remember Tyreek Hill making comment about the fact that when he first saw Patrick Mahomes, you know, his reaction was more or less like, this is the guy who we drafted. You know, this is going to be the guy who's going to be the guy who's going to lead us into the future and become the Patrick Mahomes that he is now. So I think what I'm getting at is this. This is a guy who really kind of tells it like it is. Love or hate Tyreek Hill, and a lot of people hate him, a lot of people love him. He's one of those guys that will tell you exactly how he sees it. And he obviously said, look, everyone else that he was obviously listening to was saying, look, Tua's one of those guys who has like this pop gun noodle arm. All he can do is run RPOs and throw slants and hitches and rocket screens and bubble screens and tunnel screens. He can't throw the football down the field. And obviously what he's telling you is, he was believing some of that before he got there. And now maybe the tide is turning a little bit, which we all know that unjustifiably many people get on Tua in such a way that is just not valid and just not warranted. I think this is going to be an interesting thing to watch and see how this all plays out with all the weaponry that he has surrounding him now, without a doubt.
Yeah, Jeff, you're in that area. You spend a lot of time around this Dolphins team. I think there's a national narrative around Tua, and that's one thing, but what's the actual conversation that you hear around him and the people that see him every day?
Well, that's a really good point, and I could understand why Tyreek would maybe not expect Tua to look as good as he did in practice, because generally when you get in this area, you see people who watch Tua on a regular basis are the most ardent supporters of him. Locally, I've really never seen a Dolphins quarterback get as much love and defense as Tua has gotten over the last year. And it probably due to the fact that when you watch his full body of work, you see some of that accuracy, you see some of the bigger plays that he's been capable of making. I don't know what happens with Tua. I don't know what his ceiling is personally. But I will say that this team came into this offseason and said, we are going to do more to support Tua Tagovailoa when it comes to morale boosting, when it comes to players around him, when it comes to coaching. All of those things have been put into place, and ultimately you see Tyreek say, hey, my expectations have been reset, and I think maybe the rest of us would be wise to do the same.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's worth remembering that the Dolphins took what was perceived to be a risk at the time to draft Tua number 5 overall, where they did because of the significant hip injury. It was amazing that he could even walk again. Yeah. He goes out there, has his rookie season. He's had to get back into the zone of actually playing football. It hasn't been consistent from who was calling the plays. I mean, I do think there's a lot here when you think about what Tua is capable of if given a really fair shake. Check out the Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll have Game 5 of the Eastern and Western Conference semifinals tonight on ESPN and the app. Our coverage of Rangers Hurricanes starts at 7 Eastern with the series tied at 2 games apiece, while the battle for Alberta heads back to Calgary with the Oilers up 3-1. Now listen to this from Lions coach Dan Campbell on almost losing his defensive coordinator, Aaron Glenn.
I was going to be happy as hell for him. I would, but the thought of losing him is like, I just had this feeling of like I was going to be walking around without any pants on, you know? So.
What a visual. Wow. Okay, Jeff's on the screen. You know what? That makes me think. Jeff, are you wearing pants right now?
Yeah,
are you?
Why did that just come to me?
I don't know.
Like,
Jeff,
like,
you got pants on?
I'm not wearing pants right now?
Well, are you? I mean, prove it.
You're suspect.
Stand up, Jeff. Jeff.
No. Our producer Chad's in my ear trying to get me to stand up right now.
I'm also saying that out loud. You should stand up. Seriously.
Oh,
if you
are.
Don't. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No,
come on.
I'm not standing up.
Wow.
No.
Jeff really isn't wearing any pants.
I can't do that.
Jeff's not wearing pants.
I can't.
Breaking news. Put it on the bottom line. Jeff Darlington is doing NFL Live right now without pants on. Is anyone else wearing pants?
Oh, like Lou has pants on. Lou doesn't have pants on.
Lou?
Bro, don't even pull me into your debauchery, man. Just don't.
Dean,
no,
what? Are you wearing pants?
No, dude. No, not doing it.
Uh-oh, nope. Jeff, what are we doing? What are we doing? Wow, now I'm scared. So we're actually going to move on before this gets R-rated. Let's carry on with the Saints. Jameis Winston back on the field at OTAs for the first time since tearing his ACL last season. Here's what Winston's new head coach, Dennis Allen, had to say about his signal caller's journey back to the practice field.
Yeah, look, I think he's looked good. I think he's made a lot of progress. You know, we still got a ways to go to get him ready, but we like the progress he's making. We like where he's at, and with the way that he works and how hard he works, it doesn't surprise me. You know, I think we got to continue to be smart with that, which I think we are, and we're going to continue to push to get him better, but yet try to be smart about it.
Lou, the Saints have added a lot of pieces. Can Jameis do enough to compete for this division?
I absolutely think he can, Laura. Look, I think he was well on his way last year, albeit with a roster, particularly a wide receiver, that was not equipped to deal with the other high-powered offenses in the NFC or in the NFC South in particular. That is not the case this year. They have tried to rebuild this offensive line. They have really filled out the wide receiver room. If Mike Thomas comes back healthy, Jarvis Landry, Chris Olave, and Alvin Kamara is ready to rock and roll, this football team can be a problem, especially in the deep third of the field on defense, which is an area they haven't been able to attack for years. This offense can look much better, and Jameis Winston can be the reason why.
Yeah, one of their big challengers that the Saints have owned them, the Bucs. They're in OTAs this week. Tom Brady not there today, but was present for some workouts earlier this offseason. Here's linebacker Shaq Barrett on his approach to this season after Brady decided to return.
I'm going to approach it that way for sure. Hopefully we can send him out on the highest note possible. But, yeah, we just got to just start now, start with the work, putting the work in now. But if it is his last ride, I'm going to make sure I do everything I can to send him out on the top of the mountain.
All right, Jeff, so Shaq's sending Brady out. Chances this is Brady's last year.
No, you're asking the guy who reported Tom Brady's retirement only to watch him come back 40 days later?
Yeah.
Like, I'm staying out of this. I have no idea. I can't tell you. I would say that we should all probably act as if this is Tom Brady's last year, if only to appreciate it the way that we should. Will it be a farewell tour? Probably not. But I do think that Tom at least understands that it's coming soon. Whether this year or next, I would say that this year is probably the most likely.
Well said. Let's get to Justin Herbert and the Chargers and OTAs this week. The second-year quarterback has bulked up this offseason, but listen to this on his progress from last year.
I think the biggest thing is understanding that we're miles ahead of where we were last year. Last year, we were focusing on calling the right plays in the huddle and making sure everyone was lined up in the huddle and getting lined up on the field. But guys have tons of film to look back on last year, and we're farther ahead of where we thought we were going to be. And it's always great to add those guys in. We're adding a guard, we're adding another tight end. But those guys are smart, and they're able to pick it up really quickly.
D-Wood, the Chargers may be in the toughest division in football, but how dangerous can this team be with Herbert already ahead of where he was last year?
Laura, if the Chargers and Justin Herbert are miles ahead of where they were last year, that's a scary sight. I think the Chargers will absolutely win the AFC West. I love the moves that they've done at retaining Mike Williams, adding to the offensive line, but particularly on the defensive side of the football, bringing over Khalil Mack to go opposite Joey Bosa, showing up that run defense, and then J.C. Jackson on the back end to complement that really good secondary on the back end. I think this is the Chargers' year.
Wow. Okay. D-Wood, you've been saying that a few times, and we're going to hold you to it. NFL Live is brought to you by the Bob's Burgers movie this Friday. Get your buns to theaters. All right, we'll have game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Heat and Celtics tomorrow night at 8:30 Eastern on ESPN and the app. With the Celtics up 3-2, looking to close it out at the Garden, the Countdown crew gets things started at 7:30 Eastern. Back here on NFL Live, another QB that we have our eyes on, former MVP Lamar Jackson. He's not at OTA, still no new contract in place for a man who is his own agent. Here's what head coach John Harbaugh had to say about the situation with Lamar, who he says can say it himself.
we've been down this road many times, right, through the years. So I'll just let Lamar speak for himself on that. It's for him to talk about. You can ask him. That's not for me to speak for somebody else on that. You know, it's up to him to speak for himself on that.
All right, so, Coach, Lamar's not there, so you had to speak about it, and we're going to try to ask him, too. But, Lou, how concerning is it that Lamar isn't at OTAs this year?
Well, I think it's concerning right now from a contract perspective, Laura, because no one knows what he's thinking. As John Harbaugh just said, we'll let Lamar speak for himself. Well, Lamar's not speaking, so we got to ask you. And you don't have any answers. So now we don't know if Lamar's planning on this being something that's going to go ahead and head on into training camp, into the regular season. Is he going to take a hard line stance? Like, what does this mean? And we just don't know. Now, as far as from, you know, a football perspective, I know there are many people who say, well, look, he doesn't need to be there. This guy's a former MVP. He's a Pro Bowler. You know, you don't need to be there in the offseason. You know, players have been more and more wanting to skip these kind of things. You know, and I call BS on that. And I'll say it in this way. Maybe Lamar doesn't necessarily need to be there to learn this offense, right? But his effect on everyone else who is there is something that is tangible, is something that means something. When the best players on the teams that I've been on have actually been there, even if they weren't taking reps and I was taking all the reps at my position, that benefited me because I could ask them questions. They could give me feedback from a player perspective on the things that I'm doing. It made me feel better about my own development. And they just further entrenched their ability to go ahead and lead on that football team. And I'm not saying Lamar Jackson needs to do that because everyone there, that whole organization is built around him. But players like him, players like Aaron Rodgers, all the quarterbacks, all the best players, the more they are around in the offseason, it may not just benefit them. It benefits everyone else on the roster. So I think it is a big deal.
Yeah, you know, as you see on the screen there, Damian, Lamar Jackson entering the final season of his contract. And as we said, he's his own agent. He's been very clear about betting on himself. But if you think about what he's talking about here and just the financial side of this from the player perspective, what would be your advice to Lamar this season when it comes to actually stepping on the field without a new deal in place?
I mean, listen, I've been out front saying that Lamar Jackson should not step on a blade of grass without a new deal. I mean, listen, I think he's played this, you know, pretty well up to this point, but there's just too much at risk for Lamar Jackson, considering the style of play that he brings to the table and the way they play offensively in Baltimore, for Lamar Jackson to go out there without a contract. And Lewis is right. The one thing I will say is this: championships are made in the offseason. You know, as much as we talk about players, you know, trying to downplay the importance of the offseason program, OTA, minicamp, all that type of stuff. It's important. Getting reps, getting snaps are important. Baltimore has a lot of guys coming back from injury. Just having that continuity, just as an offensive unit, is very important. And these are valuable snaps that are being missed because the quarterback is not in the camp.
You know, this is probably one of those situations we should be as careful with as possible when it comes to these contract negotiations because they are so unconventional, so unorthodox. Steve Bisciotti, the Ravens owner, has already said this offseason that essentially Lamar Jackson is not really engaging the team on these contract talks.
Yeah.
The team is ready to engage him on them, but he is kind of taking this mentality of, I want to be with the Ravens, but I also want to prove my value to you. And I know that is unique and doesn't really make a lot of sense. And there's really no agent for the conventional reporter to call to find out what's going on because he's represented by his mother. So I just would say, you know, be careful about coming to any critical assessment of the team, of the player, until this thing has a chance to kind of play out. I do expect Lamar Jackson to be on the field week one with a new deal or without one. Otherwise, I would anticipate that he would engage the team on the contract, which has yet to even happen.
Yeah, you know, Lou, it feels like Lamar is saying, let me go out there, let me win a championship, let me prove, you know, to Jeff's point. But when you think about it from that standpoint, what would his value look like if he doesn't do that? Like, you know what I mean here? It's a little murky.
Yeah.
You mean like if he goes ahead and plays this year on the final year of his contract and then wins the championship, what would his value look like? I don't know. I really don't. I do believe that Lamar wants to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL or at or near the top. Maybe he does believe that he needs to further prove that he can not only play at a high level himself, but he can take his team to that championship level that we're talking about. I'm just saying this. Look, I understand the whole notion of people betting on themselves. If you can't believe in yourself, then who's going to? And Lamar obviously is someone who has really succeeded in life by betting on himself, for sure. But this is also a business, right? And we talk about this being a business all the time. And the business of football can be very, very brutal and will mow you down as soon as you are not able to perform again. And that would just scare me.
Yeah.
If I were him or if I were his representative, if he had one.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that whole thing plays out.